It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover. With John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is John Chuckery Show, live on this Monday evening with you. 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey app is how you catch us when you're on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And you can follow us on our Twitter pages at JMCH316, at the D Lewis for real. This is your night look at all things Atlanta Falcons. It is the Falcons flyover. By the way, Braves are just getting underway right now, so first pitch is just about to take place here at 8:01 Eastern time. Falcons put Jared Bernhardt on the reserve slash retired list earlier today, and obviously the former lacrosse player. He was the lacrosse player's equivalent of the Heisman Trophy winner. Obviously was a quarterback earlier in his career. But he won't be on the roster again this year. The Falcons announced that Bernhardt has been placed on the reserved retired list on Monday. The move was announced along with Atlanta signing a wide receiver. More than that in just a minute. But he was the best college lacrosse player in the country while at Maryland in 2021. Transferred to Ferris State to play football that fall. He was a quarterback at Ferris State, then switched positions with the Falcons, and he appeared in two games before going on injured reserve. And obviously, remember a couple of years ago that he was the babe, the boy in the preseason, right? He caught the touchdown pass from Desmond Ridder that won the opening preseason game and all this kind of stuff. Well, unfortunately, it's not gone very well for him since then. So best wishes to Jared Bernhardt, but it's going to be another year without him. The Falcons are going to hold joint practices with the Miami Dolphins. So we got the preseason schedule the other day, right? So the preseason schedule on August 11th will feature the Miami Dolphins and the Atlanta Falcons. So they play the preseason game at the Hard Rock Stadium on August 11th. Practices will be from August 8th and August 9th at the Dolphins Baptist Health Training Complex in Miami Gardens. And then obviously they take on the Bengals and the Steelers, right, is the other two preseason games. So they had held practices previously in 2021, and we're seeing this more and more across the league now, right? Like with only three preseason games, we're seeing teams that are playing other teams in practices and things like that. So not unexpected, but good to see that. And look, we get a little bit, you know, there's a little bit of testiness usually to those games. So good to see that that happening. So Falcons and the Dolphins will be in a preseason. Now, speaking of signing of wide receivers, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside has been signed by the Atlanta Falcons. So where they replaced Jared Bernhardt on the reserve retired list, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside has been signed by the club. He was part of the large contingency of players that was out at rookie minicamp a couple of weeks ago. Look, he's a big dude, 6'2", 237 pounds, right? You know, he's thick, he's big, he's tough to tackle. Spent part of the 2022 season with Seattle, having been signed to their practice squad in August. He was released in November. He got a start in the league after the Philadelphia Eagles drafted him with the 57th overall pick in the second round of the 2019 draft. First year in the league was his most productive. 10 passes for 169 yards and a touchdown. 3 years since, 24 games, 2 starts, 6 receptions, 121 yards. So obviously this is not the answer to our wide receiver issues. This is just a depth piece and, hey, let's see if you can, you know, win a tryout and, you know, eventually make the club and things like that. So, again, no guarantees about what's going to happen here with Arcega-Whiteside. Obviously, he was a name from a few years ago, but it's been more name and no game for him over the last couple of seasons. So, but again, just trying to look and see if you can catch lightning in a bottle or something else, just adding depth to the wide receiver room. So Pro Football Focus has an article up on their page. One reason each NFC team will or won't make the playoffs in 2023. So let me ask you, Day-Day, do you think Pro Football Focus has them making the playoffs or missing the playoffs?
I think making.
Playoffs? No.
Really?
Reason, one more year away. This was a tricky decision as the Falcons should be in contention for the NFC South title along with the New Orleans Saints. The Saints have the easiest schedule in the league next year. Well, they don't. The Falcons are the easiest schedule. But anyway, according to one-loss records last year, Atlanta also deserves praise for being aggressive in bringing in new faces on defense this offseason, including David Onyemata, Calais Campbell, Jesse Bates. But with quarterback Desmond Ridder entering his first season as the team's full-time starter, and with all the new pieces on defense likely needing time to gel, the team may be a year away from earnestly making a run at the playoffs. It could certainly happen this year, but if it does, their time in the postseason will likely be short-lived. Well, again, once you get to playoffs, anything can happen. Do I think the Falcons make the playoffs? Well, I do think that they're going to be 9-8, 10-7 when all is said and done. So 10-7 probably gets you in the playoffs. 9-8 may not get you into the playoffs. Now, I do think it's interesting that, Pro Football Focus has been, definitely against the Desmond Ridder thing, kind of the, wait and see if it's going to happen or not. But, I look at Desmond Ridder and I don't think Desmond Ridder is going to be the reason. If we finish, let's say we finish 7-10 again, okay? Third year in a row where we finish 7-10. I don't think Desmond Ridder is going to be the number one reason for that. Do I think Desmond Ridder, if he doesn't play well, will be a reason that this team goes 7-10 or what have you? Yeah, I can see that. But I don't think Desmond Ridder is going to be the main reason. Certainly Marcus Mariota was a key reason as to why the Falcons went 7-10, because he wasn't a good quarterback, couldn't throw it worth a lick, couldn't hit anybody in stride. At times, we look like an inept passing offense. Like, we look like a passing offense that had never thrown the forward pass before. Like, we were back in the black and white film days where, again, I don't know, Y.A. Tittle was playing quarterback and, hopping off one foot to throw. I mean, we looked like we had never completed a forward pass. Striking contrast, from having a quarterback that threw for 60,000 yards, and then you have Marcus Mariota, and it looked like, whether it was shot putting against, Carolina, or, that one interception against the Rams, or just on and on and on and on and on with it. So I think he was a big reason why. Maybe he wasn't the number one reason. I mean, I certainly think that our lack of defense at times, whether it was our pass defense not being very good, our inability to sack the quarterback, different things about our defense that just did not, exude playoff. That's why I laugh when I hear about, the Falcons were in meaningful games. Okay. All right. They were, I guess by definition in meaningful games. Did anything about the Falcons look like a playoff team to you? I mean, anything. And from quarterback to this, to that. I mean, take your bet. Anything look like a playoff team? I don't even care about backdooring in the playoffs. They didn't even look like a backdoor playoff team, right? Like, they didn't look like one of those teams that, was gonna do anything or, seriously be in contention for a playoff spot. I know that they were, and obviously I know that, they were, right there, in the mix because the division was so bad, but it still felt like, okay, we're probably not going to beat, the Buccaneers when it counts most, and we didn't. And, again, I know we beat them at the end of the year. That was where Tom Brady played, a half of a game. But give Desmond Ridder credit. I mean, that was when he was getting better and better and better. So do I think they can be a playoff team? Yes. Will they be a playoff team? I would not bet my house on it. I'm not willing to bet my house on the idea of that they will be a playoff team. And look, when they say one more year away or, one more year away, I don't know what that means. Because in the NFL, you can go from bad to good in a blink of an eye in 1 year. You know, was Jacksonville a year away from being a playoff team? Because they won the division last year. When they were a three-win team, did they look like a – when they won three games with Urban Meyer and the fiasco about all of their organization, did they look like they were only 1 year away from winning their division and being a playoff team? I don't think so. So, again, this is not a matter of, maturity, breeds good things for them. I mean, look, if you're ready to be a playoff team, you're ready to be a playoff team. And I don't care what the deal is, as far as, they need one more year. Matt Ryan was in his rookie year and went to the playoffs. They had Michael Turner running it down everybody's throat. Their defense was just good enough with their older guys, right? The Lawyer Malloys and, Keith Brooking and Coy Wire and guys like that. I mean, their defense was just good enough. But they ran the football down people's throats. They absolutely pulverized NFL teams. And Michael Turner was, I don't know. I mean, maybe could have been an MVP candidate in the league because he had that good of a season for the Atlanta Falcons. When you look at what he meant, I don't know what's a team with Matt Ryan, but Matt Ryan was not the Matt Ryan that we would see in his MVP year and, kind of around those surrounding years. He was a rookie, green. He had the big pass to Michael Jenkins for the touchdown, right? His first pass of his career. But he was nowhere ready to help win a playoff game against the Arizona Cardinals. And that was what? That was the Kurt Warner, Anquan Boldin, who's the other guy? Who's the other? Larry Fitzgerald. Right, that was that team of guys. We weren't ready to do anything against any playoff team, but Matt steadied the ship. He was just good enough. And we were, 11-5 his rookie year? And then we dipped back a little bit to 9-7 when he missed a couple of games. So, again, Desmond Ridder could lead us to a playoff. I don't doubt that for a second. And I think that it will become a more regular thing with Desmond Ridder once he gets some time underneath him. But there's no reason why that the Falcons can't find themselves of being a playoff team. There's no reason why they can't find themselves in the playoffs. Whether that's winning the division or not, I think they're going to be an above 500 team. And if you're starting above 500, there's a definite shot that you could backdoor your way into a playoff game. Whether it is win the division and a bad division, whether it's, finding a wild card spot or what have you. By the way, Eddie Rosario with a 3-run homer after Ronnie tripled to lead off the game. Murphy drove him in, and then now it's a 3-run homer. So 4-0 good guys over the bad guys in all this at Truist Park. So anyway, I don't see why Desmond Ridder can't lead us to a playoff spot. Again, we talked about the floor and the ceiling. I don't think it's 13, 14, 15 wins, but certainly 9-8, 10-7 is a very doable record. All right, when we come back, I know it's complete pie in the sky, wishful thinking, but could we just be in the mix to get Jaylen Brown? We're going to open up the phone lines, 404-726-0929. I want your thoughts, 404-726-0929. Can we make a run at least, even if we don't get him, at least make a run at Jaylen Brown? Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Back at it, Chuck Richeau, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Monday evening with you. 404-726-0929. That is our phone line. 404-726-0929. That is our phone line. As talking about the Atlanta Hawks, and I want to get your guys' thoughts on this. You know, the more that I read, the more that it looks like the Boston Celtics may not be willing to give Jaylen Brown the ready. Are you sitting down, Day-Day? Okay. $290 million Supermax extension. Not just a max player, Supermax. 290 guaranteed million dollars. And I'm starting to read more and more about the idea of that it may just not happen, that Boston is not going to sign him to that kind of deal. And he's going to get a Supermax deal. Make no bones about it, so we're not confused in any way, shape, or form. He's getting a Supermax deal. He's earned it. Second team All-NBA. He's getting a Supermax deal. Now, for this year, he is only, and I say only, owed $32 million. It's like $31.9, okay? But let's call it $32 for round, rotund figures and stuff. $32 million. Is there any way on this universe or this earth that the Hawks could be in the business of trying to trade for a Jaylen Brown? And look, I short of Trae Young, I don't care what you got to give up. He's one of the best two-way players in the NBA at a forward position where we can use all the help in the world. I mean, again, DeAndre Hunter, I don't know if he's got the consistency for that position. You'd probably obviously have to include him. You could just about include anybody you wanted outside of Trae Young, but I don't know that we are in that mix. I don't know that we're going to go to that kind of level because, obviously, look, if he's going to get a Supermax deal, that is big, 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 big time money, right? That's Trae Young money. That's $45 million a year, not for a year or two because it goes up to in the 50s, but that's Supermax money. And he's going to get that kind of contract. Whether he gets it from Boston, whether he goes on the free agent market, he's getting Supermax money. Why not be for the Atlanta Hawks? If you get Jaylen Brown, there's no excuse to not be in the luxury tax. First off, you're not going to have a choice. You're not going to have a choice. Short of gutting your roster, you're not going to have a choice but to be in the luxury tax. But let's say if we could add a Jaylen Brown to DeJounte Murray, Trae Young, obviously your young rookie players, and we could add a Jaylen Brown and drop him in the middle, I don't care if you lose Capella. I don't care if we lose Collins. I don't care if we lose DeAndre Hunter. I don't care about any of those vagabonds. Again, Collins, Hunter, hasta lasagna, don't get any on you, right? Wouldn't be all that mad if that happens. But I would sure love to bring him home from Marietta, right? Where'd he go to high school?
He went to Wheeler.
Wheeler, okay. Has there been anybody good come out of Wheeler High School basketball?
That's a very long list.
Yeah. There's only been a few of those guys from Wheeler High School. So I don't know if it's possible. I really don't. I don't know how you'd have to work a deal.
I think you would need a third team, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, you probably would need three teams to make this happen because it's not even so much the money this year, right? Because it's only $32 million.
Right.
Like you could negotiate with, Collins, Hunter. Like, those numbers get you pretty close, and you throw in another piece. You could get to the number. You could get to the number.
Right.
The problem becomes, well, a couple things. Okay. Now, look, I know John Freakey talked about this a few weeks ago, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, why can't we sign Giannis and, Embiid? Well, because those guys aren't available.
Right.
Those, like, I mean, honestly, right. Like, those guys aren't available. Giannis isn't leaving the Milwaukee Bucks. Embiid's not leaving the 76ers. Those guys aren't available. Jaylen Brown could be available. And if they aren't going to re-sign him because of the financial concerns, and look, it's not been a good series for the Boston Celtics, but Jaylen Brown instantly makes you a probably top three team in the East. If you've got Trae Young, DeJounte Murray, Jaylen Brown, I mean, that's a really good place to start. That's a very healthy place to start with. And you could potentially be, you know, at that top, and that would make all the sense in the world, like to be in the luxury tax. If you're going to tell me that we're going to be a top 1-2-3 seed in the Eastern Conference, that should be motivation and reason enough to be in the luxury tax. Because once you get him signed, you're so far in the luxury tax that you're not going to see above the table. You're not going to be able to see above anything. Your eyes are barely going to reach over the top of the table if you sign him to that extension, because it's going to be super max money, and he ain't taking a dime less than all that, because this is his chance to majorly capitalize and cash in for it. But, man, I would be so intrigued. You have a backcourt that has DeJounte and Trey. You've got a small forward in Jaylen Brown. I don't know if you can keep, you know, but let's say worst-case scenario, Okongwu's your center. So you have to play Okongwu at center because you move on from Clint Capella, okay? I can live with that. And now, all of a sudden, you have some pieces that could be good defensive players. Murray, Jaylen Brown, Okongwu. You have some guys that could be good defensive players. I'm not saying we're elite yet, but you have guys that could be good defensive players when all is said and done. I would love to see this happen. Now, obviously, you know, again, money and the idea of, do we have an attractive enough package to offer it up to Boston? Because, again, you're going to have to probably find a third team. What does that entail? Boston's not going to take fish heads and rice for Jaylen Brown. Second team All-NBA? They're not taking fish heads and rice for him.
Not at all. And I don't think they're ready to completely be out of the mix, right? Because if you give up Jaylen Brown and don't get anything back, you're basically essentially almost blowing up what you've got.
Okay, but you've got a first team All-NBA player though.
But that's just one. You got to get the right pieces around him.
Again, you have a first team All-NBA player, you have a first team All-Defensive player. You have a very strong bench. I mean, you just had the sixth man of the year. I mean, I'm not telling. I mean, Boston has still a lot to build with. Now, you've got to get something back for Jaylen Brown. You're just not giving him away. Mm-hmm. And that's where the third team comes in as, yeah. Okay, can somebody make – because let me put it like this, okay? Even with three teams, somebody's going to be a loser.
Yeah.
Everybody's not going to get star. Not everybody's going to win in a scenario like that. Somebody's got to be the fall guy. One team is going to get Jaylen Brown. Let's just think this through. Okay, so you've got the Celtics, you've got the Hawks, and you've got Team X. Okay, mm-hmm. The Hawks, they're going to get Jaylen Brown. Okay. The Celtics are going to get some compilation of pieces, good pieces, young players, whatever, okay? Team X is going to have to be the loser. They're going to have to be the team that takes on expiring contracts and they're in rebuild mode and all this kind of stuff, mm-hmm. right? That they're going to have to be the team that, okay, they sacrifice themselves for the good of the
future,
you know, teacher. Yeah, for the two teams that are in this thing.
Right.
Because, again, not everybody can win in a scenario like that. Now, let me ask you a question, Day-Day.
Mm-hmm.
If it cost you Trae Young, I can get Jaylen Brown. I have DeJounte Murray still. I've still got something of Collins, Capella, Hunter, some form of that. You doing that deal?
I sure enough would want to. Not to say I want to get rid of Trey, but I mean, it's not a bad trade.
I would just, my only thing would be, I would love to see Trey Young, DeJounte Murray,
and Jaylen Brown together. But I just don't think you'd be able to see that. That's why I say you're going to need that third team to have that other piece that's going to be attractive enough for Boston.
Yeah. And I don't know what that third team would be. Like, I don't know what that team is that is looking to move on from a good player. Because, again, you've got to have the third team be willing to give up somebody good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I say, like, if it's a three-team trade, somebody's going to lose in that deal. Somebody's got to be the loser. Somebody's got to be the fall guy. Somebody's got to be the guy that takes on the expiring contracts, you know, and doesn't get anything back in return other than they free up a whole bunch of cap space the next year.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's where that has to lead to. And I don't know if there's a team – I don't know if there's a team out there that just rattles off the top of my head that has high caliber guy and they want to, you know, downsize. I don't know. I mean, I don't know who that team is. You know, we just saw Utah lose their two stars.
Yep.
You know, so Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, they left.
And then Portland just re-upped Dame Lillard.
Yeah.
So.
Did you see where Dame Lillard wanted to go after John Collins? He wanted to trade for John Collins in the draft.
I didn't see that. Okay.
Yeah, in the draft. But, I mean, would it be like a Bradley Beal kind of
player? I was thinking Washington because I couldn't remember whether or not. Did they give Bradley the money?
He had 250.
I couldn't remember.
Yeah, he got.
But that's who came to mind first.
He got 250 for five.
Yeah, that's who came to mind first for me, but I just couldn't remember.
Yeah, because, again, there's just. When you're talking about that kind of money and those kinds of, I mean, there's not that many of those players. There's just not that many that and especially you don't have that caliber of player normally available, right?
Right.
That's the thing that Freaky couldn't understand is, we need to trade for the. Well, why would Milwaukee and Boston or why would Milwaukee and Philadelphia want to trade those guys?
Right.
Why would Milwaukee want to trade Giannis? Why would Philly want to trade Joel Embiid? You build around the MVP of the league and you put your tentacles out from there. But why would they want to trade a guy like that? That's the thing Freaky couldn't understand, but you get to a point where, okay, maybe it's a Bradley Beal who just re-upped though, and he wanted to build around Washington and things like that. I don't know. I don't really know what the answer is. Here's what I do know. I want to be in the Jaylen Brown business.
You want to be in them sweepstakes.
Yeah, I want to be in that business. So I want to swim in those waters, swim with the sharks, swim with the fishes. I want to be in those waters. All right, what's Bug and Chuckery coming up next? I mean, it's not like we didn't know that this is what he was all about. I'll explain next. Chuckery in the Kia Studios. Sports Radio after the game, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 of the game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Monday evening with you. 404-741-0929, that is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey app, so you catch us on the go. Social media at 929 the game, blah, 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 blah. Braves up right now, 4-1 now. Rosario is homered in the game. He hit a three-run homer. Good to see him finally kind of getting some things cranked up a little bit here. Ronnie doubled. He scored. Murphy knocked him in. So Braves up 4-1 right now. Charlie Morton, 2 2/3 innings, one hit, one earned run as Martinez homered off of him. So J.D. Martinez with the home run off of him. So that's the – and again, we talk about trying to keep the ball in the ballpark and all that good kind of stuff because that was his downfall last year, right? That was the big bugaboo for him last year. So got to keep the ball in the ballpark and – you know, obviously, it's it's a different Charlie Morton when that happens. But so far, so good though for the Braves. They got some runs on the board for him as they scored 4 runs in the first inning. So Morton is trying to get himself through this second inning as is nobody on, and I think it's Betts that's up to bat. So we'll keep you up to date about everything going on with Atlanta Braves here tonight. Obviously, a good series against the Dodgers, and Morton got out of it. So, good series against the Dodgers, and then the Philadelphia Phillies come in. So, this is a good test. And by the way, we were talking about the Oakland A's with Bob Nightingale. That's where the Braves go next when they go on the road. So, they got the Oakland A's on the road right after they finish up with 4 in Philadelphia. So, I think it is starting Memorial Day Monday, but they're in Oakland to take on the disgraceful. I mean, they are 10-38. 10-38. Like, how is that possible? How is it possible to be that? I mean, you can't even try to be that bad, can you? Like, if you tried and said, look, we're going to be a really bad team, I don't think you could even come up with that. I don't think you'd come up with being that bad of a team. But there's the Oakland A's with it. So, get through this week, see where you stand, and then starting next week, you get a chance to catch a breather with all of it as you'll be in Oakland to take on the hapless Oakland A's. All right, speaking of hapless, let's get to something that we call What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Buggin' Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So, is Kenny Pickett the first-round draft pick from, was it last year he was a first-round draft pick? Took over for the Pittsburgh Steelers. It was a hard pill to swallow for Ben Roethlisberger. So, Ben Roethlisberger had Kenny Pickett as a guest on his podcast, Footballing with Ben Roethlisberger. First off, that's a dumb title, but anyway. And over the week, he had him on over the weekend, and admittedly, he initially didn't want the then rookie to have immediate success this past season. Now, all right, here we go. Quote from Ben Roethlisberger. I'll be completely honest. I'll be super transparent here. And I'm going to get blasted. I probably shouldn't say this, but who cares at this point? I wouldn't say that I wanted Kenny to necessarily fail, but when someone comes to replace you, I still feel like I had it. I hope he doesn't ball out, because then it's like, Ben who? All right. Now, look, we've always known that Ben Roethlisberger is a jagoff. Right? Like, that's never been in question or in doubt. And it is funny because even when he's trying to do the right thing or whatever, he still comes across as a complete jagoff. I still feel like I had it. I hope he doesn't come ball out, because then it's like, Ben who? Okay. Did Ben Roethlisberger ever win the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Okay. Did he play in multiples of Super Bowls?
Yes.
Okay. So, is he maybe, again, I know Terry Bradshaw had the 4 Super Bowls, but could you make an argument that he's the greatest quarterback in Steelers history? Now, think about what I'm saying. Greatest quarterback in the history of the Steelers who've won, like, what, 7 Super Bowls?
Mm-hmm.
Could you make a case for that?
Oh, yeah, you definitely could make a case
so
for that.
Why would it be Ben who? Like, how is Kenny Pickett in his rookie year going to overtake the legacy that Ben Roethlisberger had? I don't understand that. I don't understand that. The Steelers picked Pickett with their first-round draft pick last year, broke into the lineup in week four, and became the starter the next week. He had a 9-8 record after the Steelers had a 9-8 record after the team started 2-6. Roethlisberger, quote, and he told Pickett this. He's looking at the guy telling him this. Quote, early on, I didn't want you to succeed because you followed me up. I didn't want it to happen. I think that's probably the selfishness of me, and I feel bad for it. No, you're just a jagoff. He doesn't feel sorry about it. He is selfish, and he's a jagoff. And that's all you really need to know about the whole scenario. As you started playing, I found myself rooting more and more for you. So he wants him to fail, and at the same time, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers, his team, that he wants to fail as well. Okay. I wanted you to succeed. I wanted you to win games. I wanted you to go to the playoffs. I felt bad that early on. I'm glad I transitioned into loving and rooting for you. No, you're still a jagoff. You know what listen, Day-Day.
Mm-hmm.
Act like you're Ben Roethlisberger, okay?
Okay.
Be Ben Roethlisberger and say that I felt bad. I'm sorry. Be Ben Roethlisberger and say, I'm glad I transitioned to loving and rooting for you.
You know, I'm just glad I transitioned and began rooting for you.
Okay, I don't want you to root for me, you jagoff. That should have been Kenny Pickett's response. You know what, Ben? You're a jagoff, and I don't want you to root for me. In fact, go to hell, jagoff. He added that he's now a fan of Kenny Pickett and complimented on his running ability. Said he also enjoys texting Pickett after the games. Yeah, you know what? I'd block my number from Ben Roethlisberger. If Ben Roethlisberger was texting me after games and knowing what I know now, I'd block his number and say, hey, jagoff, I'm blocking you. He added that he's now a fan of Pickett, huh? Okay. Pickett said of having Roethlisberger's support, adding that he studied him when he was in playing at Pitt, quote, it means the world. And he believes that Pickett is, and Roethlisberger now believes that Pickett's the future of this team. Well, gee, you think? He's their first-round pick. That's why you pick a guy in the first round to play quarterback for your team, is because he's hopefully going to be the future of your team. Guess what? If he's not the future of your team, that's a wasted draft pick. Ben then went on to say, quote, I really do, and I think the fans should be lucky they are lucky they got you. Oh, okay. Well, the fans were always lucky. Fans always like Kenny Pickett, but they don't like you, jagoff. I mean, is Ben Roethlisberger, again, when I say, even when he's trying to be complimentary and he's trying to put a guy over and trying to say something nice about him, he comes across as the biggest jagoff in the world. And I know that he is. I mean, there's no real mystery about that with all the shenanigans and stuff that he's had going on in his football career and life. But again, like, what would Kenny Pickett took it way better than I would have. Because somebody had to take over for Ben Roethlisberger. And Ben Roethlisberger didn't want to see the Pittsburgh Steelers succeed? How many million, Day-Day, how many hundreds of millions of dollars do you think Ben Roethlisberger made from the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Way more than I'll ever see in five lifetimes.
Yeah. And so why would you not want the Steelers to be successful? Why would you root against your franchise? Why would you root against the guy who's, again, they're not competing for the same gig. They're not in competition with one another. So why be a jagoff about it? Why not root for the kid? Why not mentor the kid? Why not say, hey, listen, this guy's the future of our franchise, but you had to be, like, goaded into it? Like, you had to, like, you know, work yourself up into a shoot and then say, okay, I'm ready to work. I'm ready to roof. You know when he probably did it? When he started this podcast. All of a sudden he became Mr. Good Guy, right?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I've always been on board with Kenny Pickett. I've always had his back. Again, this is not a likable guy in any stretch of the imagination. And it's more than just this. I mean, obviously, we know all of the things and the details and all of the fault or all that has surrounded Ben Roethlisberger in his NFL career, right? You know, from Statesboro to wherever else. But we know about all of these things. And so, again, I mean, who did he take over for, Ben Roethlisberger? Was it Neil O'Donnell that he took over for? Like, would Neil O'Donnell have a podcast and talk about Ben Roethlisberger being a, you know, just an a-hole and not wanting to see him succeed? I think it was Neil O'Donnell, was it not? Maybe it wasn't. I'm getting all choked up about it. Excuse me. But again, this guy's a complete jag-off. I don't root for Ben Roethlisberger at all. I think most people don't. And look, he did a lot of great things for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, he's standing in the community, not to be knocked or whatever for what he accomplished. But again, I don't know how you could call yourself a Pittsburgh Steeler and not root for the next guy to take over your position and succeed in it. But that's, again, that's Ben Roethlisberger is exactly who we thought he was.
And he took over for Tommy Maddox.
Okay. The great Tommy Maddox, former Dan Reeves pick. All right. We get back for the top of the hour. Chuck in the Key Studio, Sports Radio at the Game, Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Monday evening with you. 404-741-0929, that is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey app, so you catch us on the go. Social media at 929 The Game, blah, 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 blah. Braves up right now, 4-1 now. Rosario is homered in the game. He hit a three-run homer. Good to see him finally kind of getting some things cranked up a little bit here. Ronnie doubled. He scored. Murphy knocked him in. So Braves up 4-1 right now. Charlie Morton, 2 2/3 innings, one hit, one earned run as Martinez homered off of him. So J.D. Martinez with the home run off of him. So that's the – and again – we talk about trying to keep the ball in the ballpark and all that good kind of stuff because that was his downfall last year, right? That was the big bugaboo for him last year. So got to keep the ball in the ballpark. And, you know, obviously it's a different Charlie Morton when that happens. But so far so good, though, for the Braves. They got some runs on the board for him as they scored 4 runs in the first inning. So Morton is trying to get himself through this second inning as this is nobody on, and I think it's Betts that's up to bat. So we'll keep you up to date about everything going on with the Atlanta Braves here tonight. Obviously, a good series against the Dodgers, and Morton got out of it. So good series against the Dodgers, and then the Philadelphia Phillies come in. So this is a good test. And by the way, we were talking about the Oakland A's with Bob Nightingale. That's where the Braves go next when they go on the road. So they got the Oakland A's on the road right after they finish up with four in Philadelphia. So I think it is starting Memorial Day Monday, but they're in Oakland to take on the disgraceful. I mean, they are 10-38. 10-38. Like, how is that possible? How is it possible to be that? I mean, you can't even try to be that bad, can you? Like, if you tried and said, look, we're going to be a really bad team, I don't think you could even come up with that. I don't think you'd come up with being that bad of a team. But there's the Oakland A's with it. So, again, get through this week, see where you stand, and then starting next week, you get a chance to catch a breather with all of it as you'll be in Oakland to take on the hapless Oakland A's. All right, speaking of hapless, let's get to something that we call What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So, is Kenny Pickett the first-round draft pick from, what, was it last year he was a first-round draft pick? Took over for the Pittsburgh Steelers. It was a hard pill to swallow for Ben Roethlisberger. So, Ben Roethlisberger had Kenny Pickett as a guest on his podcast, Footballing with Ben Roethlisberger. First off, that's a dumb title, but anyway. And over the week, he had him on over the weekend, and admittedly, he initially didn't want the then rookie to have immediate success this past season. Now, all right, here we go. Quote from Ben Roethlisberger. I'll be completely honest. I'll be super transparent here. And I'm going to get blasted. I probably shouldn't say this, but who cares at this point? I wouldn't say that I wanted Kenny to necessarily fail. But when someone comes to replace you, I still feel like I had it. I hope he doesn't ball out. Because then it's like, Ben who? All right. Now look, we've always known that Ben Roethlisberger is a jagoff, right? Like, that's never been in question or in doubt. And it is funny because even when he's trying to do the right thing or whatever, he still comes across as a complete jagoff. I still feel like I had it. I hope he doesn't come ball out, because then it's like, Ben who? Okay. Did Ben Roethlisberger ever win the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Okay. Did he play in multiples of Super Bowls?
Yes.
Okay. So is he maybe, again, I know Terry Bradshaw had the four Super Bowls, but could you make an argument that he's the greatest quarterback in Steelers history? Now, think about what I'm saying. Greatest quarterback in the history of the Steelers who've won, like, what, seven Super Bowls?
Mm-hmm.
Could you make a case for that?
Oh, yeah, you definitely could
okay,
make a case
so for why would it be Ben who? Like, how is Kenny Pickett in his rookie year going to overtake the legacy that Ben Roethlisberger had? I don't understand that. I don't understand that. The Steelers picked Pickett with their first-round draft pick last year, broke into the lineup in week four, and became the starter the next week. He had a 9-8 record after the Steelers had a 9-8 record after the team started 2-6. Roethlisberger, quote, and he told Pickett this. He's looking at the guy telling him this. Quote, early on, I didn't want you to succeed because you followed me up. I didn't want it to happen. I think that's probably the selfishness of me, and I feel bad for it. No, you're just a jagoff. He doesn't feel sorry about it. He is selfish, and he's a jagoff. And that's all you really need to know about the whole scenario. As you started playing, I found myself rooting more and more for you. So he wants him to fail, and at the same time, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers, his team, that he wants to fail as well. Okay. I wanted you to succeed. I wanted you to win games. I wanted you to go to the playoffs. I felt bad that early on. I'm glad I transitioned into loving and rooting for you. No, you're still a Jagoff. You know what I listen, Day-Day.
Mm-hmm.
Act like you're Ben Roethlisberger, okay?
Okay.
Be Ben Roethlisberger and say that I felt bad. I'm sorry. Be Ben Roethlisberger and say, I'm glad I transitioned to loving and rooting for you.
You know, I'm just glad I transitioned and began rooting for you.
Okay, I don't want you to root for me, you jag-off. That should have been Kenny Pickett's response. You know what, Ben? You're a jag-off, and I don't want you to root for me. In fact, go to hell, jag-off. He added that he's now a fan of Kenny Pickett. And compliment on his running ability. Said he also enjoys texting Pickett after the games. Yeah, you know what? I'd block my number from Ben Roethlisberger. If Ben Roethlisberger was texting me after games and knowing what I know now, I'd block his number and say, hey, Jagoff, I'm blocking you. He added that he's now a fan of Pickett, huh? Okay. Pickett said of having Roethlisberger's support, adding that he studied him when he was in playing at Pitt, quote, it means the world. And he believes that Pickett is, and Roethlisberger now believes that Pickett's the future of this team. Well, gee, you think? He's their first round pick. That's why you pick a guy in the first round to play quarterback for your team, is because he's hopefully going to be the future of your team. Guess what? If he's not the future of your team, that's a wasted draft pick. Ben then went on to say, quote, I really do. And I think the fans should be lucky. They are lucky they got you. Oh, okay. Well, the fans were always lucky. Fans always like Kenny Pickett. But they don't like you, Jagoff. I mean, is Ben Roethlisberger, again, when I say, even when he's trying to be complimentary and he's trying to put a guy over and trying to say something nice about him, he comes across as the biggest jagoff in the world. And I know that he is. I mean, there's no real mystery about that with all the shenanigans and stuff that he's had going on in his football career and life. But again, like, what would Kenny Pickett took it way better than I would have. Because somebody had to take over for Ben Roethlisberger. And Ben Roethlisberger didn't want to see the Pittsburgh Steelers succeed. How many million, Day-Day, how many hundreds of millions of dollars do you think Ben Roethlisberger made from the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Way more than I'll ever see in five lifetimes.
Yeah. And so why would you not want the Steelers to be successful? Why would you root against your franchise? Why would you root against the guy who's, again, they're not competing for the same gig. They're not in competition with one another. So why be a jagoff about it? Why not root for the kid? Why not mentor the kid? Why not say, hey, listen, this guy's the future of our franchise, but you had to be, like, goaded into it? Like, you had to, like, you know, work yourself up into a shoot and then say, okay, I'm ready to work. I'm ready to root. You know when he probably did it? When he started this podcast. All of a sudden he became Mr. Good Guy, right?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I've always been on board with Kenny Pickett. I've always had his back. Again, this is not a likable guy in any stretch of the imagination. And it's more than just this. I mean, obviously, we know all of the things and the details and all of the fault or all that has surrounded Ben Roethlisberger in his NFL career, right? You know, from Statesboro to wherever else, but we know about all of these things. And so, again, I mean, who did he take over for, Ben Roethlisberger? Was it Neil O'Donnell that he took over for? Like, would Neil O'Donnell have a podcast and talk about Ben Roethlisberger being a, you know, just an a-hole and not wanting to see him succeed? I think it was Neil O'Donnell, was it not? Maybe it wasn't. I'm getting all choked up about it. Excuse me. But again, this guy's a complete jagoff. I don't root for Ben Roethlisberger at all. I think most people don't. And look, he did a lot of great things for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, he's standing in the community, not to be, knocked or whatever for what he accomplished. But again, I don't know how you could call yourself a Pittsburgh Steeler and not root for the next guy to take over your position and succeed in it. But that's, again, that's Ben Roethlisberger is exactly who we thought he was.
And he took over for Tommy Maddox.
Okay. The great Tommy Maddox, former Dan Reeves pick. All right. We get back for the top of the hour. Chuck in the Keys Studio, Sports Radio, the game, Odyssey.com app.